Thank you, Rosalind, and thank you for hosting. Good evening, sisters. Would you pray with me, please?
Father God,
we just come to you at this moment, just thanking you, Father, for all the many blessings that you have given us. Just thanking you, Father, for our health, such as it is, and our strength, Father, that we can go on day by day and do the things that you would have us to do, Father. Father, this time I also pray. Well, I ask you, Father, this time to forgive me for any sins I may have committed, knowingly or unknowingly, that this prayer be not hindered. Father, I ask you at this time to please, Father, be with all our sick and shut in, Father. And you know who they are. I don't have to call their names, Father. You know, because you know all things. Just be with them, Father, and give them back their much-wanted health and strength, Father, if it be your will. Be with our bereaved, Father. We have so many families and so many sisters that are bereaved these days with many deaths happening. And, Father, we just ask you to please be with us all and give us strength, Father, and to just know that you don't make any mistakes and that, Father, we can go on if we just hold on to your unchanging hand. And we thank you, Father. Father, just thank you for all the sisters on this call tonight. Father, just thank you that you have blessed us all to be on this call. And Father, I just pray that we can all get something out of the lesson that LaDonna has prepared for us, Father God. And we just thank her so much for putting so much time and study and preparing her lesson as we know she has, Father. And we just pray that you will help her to relay it to us so we all can understand it. That we won't have the fear of the spirit of fear, but we will have the spirit of faith. And Father God, I just pray that you'll go with us all and be with us all, Father, and that we will all understand your word as it is presented to us, Father God. Thank you, Father, for all things, all blessings, and continue to love and bless us all. And we ask all this in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Ruby, for a beautiful prayer. We will now have our scripture reading by Sister Diane DeGraffenreid.
Good evening, sisters. I will be reading scripture this evening from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and it will be coming from the King James Version. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of all of his holy and divine words. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Diane, for the beautiful scripture reading that you have done for us, and we appreciate it. Our song praise will be done by Sister Elizabeth Francis.
Good evening, sisters. Thank you so much, Sister Rosalind, for hosting.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave life to fear, for I am a child of God. Oh, 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 oh. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are joined in perfect love. You rescue me so I can stand and say, I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are joined in perfect love. You rescue me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Amen.
All right. Amen, Sister Elizabeth. Wonderful.
Amen.
I love the words of that song. Just beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. We next have the introduction of a speaker by Sister Natissa Thompson.
Good evening, my sisters. I have the honor and the privilege of introducing our speaker for tonight, our very own Sister LaDonna Miller. Sister LaDonna is a native of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and she has been married to Brother Ernest Miller Jr. since 2000. And to their union, they have been blessed with two beautiful girls, Liza Nay, 20, and LaBrayant, 17. And it is their prayer that they will be productive in the Lord. Sister LaDonna and her family are currently living in Magnolia, Arkansas, where her husband serves as an associate minister of the Southview Church of Christ. LaDonna acknowledges that she is truly blessed to have the opportunity to teach Sunday school and also to have founded and coordinated a daily Bible Line study. The Bible Line has truly been blessed to have existed for over 3 years. Sister LaDonna is also blessed as well to have the opportunity to serve as a lady prayer warrior and to serve on many teams and also participate in the 100 Days of Prayer. One of her favorite scriptures is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. I introduce to you our dear sister, LaDonna Miller. So get your paper and your pen and get ready to hear a lesson that will bless your life. Thank you.
Our speaker now, Sister LaDonna Miller.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute and just talking away. I want to take the time to thank God for allowing me to have the opportunity to share a lesson on tonight. I want to take the time to thank the Lady Prayer Warriors for your support on tonight. I want to thank Sister Rosalind Body for hosting, Sister Ruby Underwood for the opening prayer, Sister Diane DeGrafferick for the reading of the scripture, and Sister Elizabeth Francis for that beautiful song of praise. And I also want to thank Sister Natissa Thompson for introducing me. And I would like to thank Sister Mitzi Wise, Lord willing, for the closing prayer. Let us pray. Father God, as I come to you, Lord, in the best and humblest way that I know how, I just want to give you praise, honor, and glory for this opportunity to share your word. Lord, this lesson is not about me, but it's about you, and may you get the glory. Please forgive me, Father, for any sins that I've committed, word, thoughts, or deeds, knowing and unknowingly. And once again, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. I pray that, Lord, we can take something from this lesson and apply it all to our lives and share it. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. The topic I am so excited and have been given the opportunity to speak on is God has not given us the spirit of fear. The Bible that I'm going to use is the Amplified and the King James Version. The scripture that I have chosen to use is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or coward or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well mind and self-control. Now, I want to give a little history on Timothy. Timothy became a believer during Paul's first missionary journey. He was a respected Christian in his hometown. He was Paul's representative on several occasions. He received two personal letters from Paul. Timothy probably knew Paul better than any other person, becoming like a son to Paul. Well, sisters, Timothy did have a few struggles, and one of them was the spirit of timid and reserved nature. He allowed others to look down on his youthfulness. Timothy was apparently unable to correct some of the problems in the church at Ephesus when Paul sent him there. In the second book of Timothy, Paul gives Timothy, his son in the gospel, instructions of words of encouragement as the minister at the church in Ephesus. So tonight I'm going to deal with a portion of 2 Timothy 1 through 7. Incline your ear as we begin this lesson. Famous last words are more than a cliche. When notable men and women of influence are about to die, the world waits to hear their final words of insight and wisdom. Then those quotes are repeated worldwide. This is also true with a dying loved one gathered at his or her side. The family strains to hear every whisper, symbols of blessings, encouragement, and any advice, knowing this will be the final message. Just to name a few cliches, Dr. Martin Luther King's cliche is, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. First Lady Michelle Obama's cliche is, success is not about how much money you make. It's about the difference you make in people's lives. Paul the Apostle's cliche is, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As we observe all the cliches, all are of value. But the cliche that's the most significant is that of Paul the Apostle. Now, the first two are dealing with the physical life, but the third is dealing with our spiritual being, that which is of service to our soul, that which helps us to connect us to God while on this Christian journey to glory. by faith, one day we are going to meet the Lord and hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now, as I started meditating on 2 Timothy 1:7, the words "for God" just stood out to me. For God is the backbone of this scripture. Paul is reminding Timothy about God, the God we serve. Paul is telling Timothy the way a father would talk to his son. Timothy, don't get it twisted and think that God has given us the spirit of fear, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. So now I went back to the "for God" and I thought about this in chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, the thought came to mind that everything that God spoke into existence still exists today. As we make observations of this world that we live in, everything that God spoke 2,000 years ago, we still see the heavens. God spoke the earth into existence, but we still see the earth. God spoke the waters into existence, and we still see the waters. God spoke the seas into existence, and we still see them. God spoke the light into existence, and we still see them. God spoke the darkness into existence, and we still see it. God spoke the sun into existence, and we still see the sun. God spoke the moon into existence, and we still see the moon. God spoke the animals into existence, and we still see the animals. God spoke the birds of the air into existence, and we still see the birds of the air. We still see the animals of the ocean. But God spoke into existence. God spoke the herb-yielding seeds, and we still see the herb-yielding seeds. God spoke fruit of every kind and vegetable. We still see the fruit and vegetables. And lastly, God spoke man into existence and woman, and we still see each other. So when Paul was telling Timothy this 2,000 years ago, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear," it still exists for us today as Christians. Sisters, I don't know about y'all, but that blessed my life. That I can depend on those words that Paul spoke to Timothy. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." The question is, what can we gather from this chapter? We can depend on God because everything he said still exists. 2,000 years and it's still standing. We can depend on God's Son because he is the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 2:12. We can depend on God because he is our Alpha and our Omega, Revelations 22:13. As we continue with Paul teaching Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear, let us deal with what kind of fear was Paul talking to Timothy about. As I looked in the Strong's Bible, this type of fear deals with a spirit of timidity, which implies a faithless fear. There are different kinds of fear according to the Bible dictionary. Just to name a few, there's a fear of reverence, awe, and respect, a fear of unpleasant emotions caused by a sense of danger. But the fear that we're talking about, the spirit of timid. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If we have this type of spirit of fear is impossible to please God, for God did not give us the spirit of fear. So now I have a question. How do we know if we have this spirit of timid and faithlessness? Well, this brings me to my first point. When we resist the truth that is in the Bible, what is resisting the truth? Resisting the truth is going against any part of God's word. I'm going to deal with a few scriptures right now because we are dealing with Christians living in a world that says you can do anything. Let me back that up. We are dealing with Christians living in a world that says we can do anything. Now, Ephesians 4:4-6 says, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, we resist the spirit when we don't believe that there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father. Well, you know, I like examples because nothing beats an understanding. When the leaders of a congregation say that it is okay for a person who has been baptized outside of the faith not to be rebaptized in the faith. Members who believe that there is more than one faith. Matthew 16:18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We resist the spirit when we do not stand on the fact that Jesus built one church. The church is the church of Christ. We sing, we pray, we listen to the preacher, we commune, and we give. Ephesians chapter 5:19 says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from the heart to the Lord. We resist the spirit when we allow leaders to put instrumental music in the Church of Christ and use it during worship service. We resist the spirit when we accept musical instruments being played in the church and don't stand for the truth. The truth is according to God's word, period. According to God's word, there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one church, and making music with our hearts only. We resist the truth when we as members accept our own opinions over God's word. We are simply telling God the instructions he left us to follow was not good enough, and we start adding and subtracting. Deuteronomy chapter 12:32 says, everything I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us that which has been, that which will be again, and that which has been done, that which will be done again. So there is nothing new under the sun. Once again, there is nothing new under the sun. Sisters, somebody already tried it. Let's see who it is. Let's look at a few examples. In Leviticus 10:10 is a story about Nadab and Abihu. Unfortunately, these two brothers lost their lives by offering an unauthorized fire before the Lord, an offering that God did not authorize. But you know what? They didn't even get a chance to learn their lesson. The second story is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Just as Jannes and Jambres, the court, magicians of Egypt opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men of deprived mind, unqualified and worthless as teachers in regards to the faith. As we go back to the question, how do we know if we have a timid spirit? In our first point, we talked about resisting the truth. Now let's talk about our second point. When we resist correcting our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are just as guilty, and we are going along with it and say nothing. So Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5 says, better is an open reprimand of loving correction than love that is hidden. Let me read that again. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 5. Better is an open reprimand of loving correction than love that is hidden. I don't know why I can't get that right. In the book of Ecclesiastes 1:9, back again, the Bible tells us that which has been, that which will be again, and that which has been done is that which will be done again. So there is nothing new under the sun. The point I want to make is that there is nothing new under the sun. Sisters, we already know. Somebody tried it. Let's see who it is. In Galatians chapter 2, 11, verse 21, the Apostle Paul had to rebuke Peter at Antioch because Peter and the crew that joined him were ignoring their knowledge of the Jewish and Gentile Christians were united under the new covenant. Peter separated himself from the Gentile believers because he was afraid of those from the circumcision. Just as Paul stood boldly and rebuked Peter and all brothers who followed along with Peter, we are to mimic the same behavior. When we see things that are not in line with God's will, let us take a stand and not a back seat. When you are taking a back seat, we are participating. As we come near to the end of this study, I want to share my third point of answering the question, how do we know if we have the spirit of timid? When we resist the renewing of our mind, this is a straight up red danger zone area. I mean, just flags everywhere. We simply don't, won't, and can't grow when we resist the renewing of our mind. We will never reach the ability to approve of God's will by resisting the spirit of renewing our mind. When we stay on milk as new babes, according to Hebrews 5:11-12, concerning this, we have much to say that it is hard to explain since we have become dull and sluggish in your spiritual hearing and decline to listen. For though by this time you ought to be teachers because of the time you have had to learn these truths, you actually need someone to teach you, again, the elementary principles of God's word from the beginning, and you have come to be continually in need of milk, not solid food. Will we choose to conform to the ways of the world, sisters? What we put in our minds, whether we want to accept it or not, flows from the heart. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 34-37. I began to meditate as I was doing my study about the essential things of life. And this thought that came to life for me was a need for water. Our bodies cannot live without water for more than 3 days. When there is no water supply in our bodies, it is unable to function correctly. And we will begin to stop, our bodies will begin to stop working. The question that you may have in mind is, well, what does this water have to do with resisting the renewing of our mind? Well, just as we can't make it without water for more than 3 days, so it is we can't make it without renewing our minds. Renewing our minds is an everyday lifeline with God. We cannot afford to mess it up. We only get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity while we are on this side of life. As we examine our lives through God's Word, as we examine our lives through God's Word, which will it be? God's way or the world's way? Choose wisely. Let's look at God's Word for a few more examples that we can meditate on. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, Jesus used the words to overcome Satan. Not one time, but three times. If we resist the renewing of our mind, we will not be prepared when temptation comes. It's not about a matter of if it is, it's a matter of when temptation comes. Well, my sisters, back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1:9. The Bible once again tells us that that which has been, that which will be again, and that which has been done is that which will be done again. So there is nothing new under the sun. In closing, sisters, there is nothing new under the sun. Someone tried it. Let's see who it is. Matthew chapter 5, the parable of the 10 virgins. In the parable, 5 of the virgins were wise. They were far-sighted, practical, and sensible. And 5 of the virgins were unwise. They were thoughtless, silly, and careless. And that's what we're going to talk about. Which category do we fall under? Let's continue observing the lesson. As we look at all 10 women, we know all had a few things in common. Well, number one, they were all virgins. Number 2, they were all Christians. Number 3, they all had the opportunity to build a relationship with God. They were all women. So let's look at the 5 foolish virgins and see why were they foolish? Once they were added to the faith, they didn't take advantage of renewing their mind and building a relationship with God. They chose not to pray consistently. It is only through prayer that we can communicate with God. Philippians 4:6 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. They chose to conform to the ways of the world. So how do we further know that the 5 wise virgins didn't have a relationship with God? Well, foolishness was added to their name. Proverbs 22:1 tells us, a good name earned by honorable behavior, godly wisdom, moral courage, and personal integrity is more desirable than great riches, and favor is better than silver and gold. Foolishness is not even a part of God. The foolish women took no oil with them. The oil is purchased. This means a price is to be paid to obtain the oil to have a continual presence of God in our lives. This means we have to have a continual relationship with God by the renewing of our mind. Only a substantial presence of God in our life can keep the fire burning through dark nights. We as members of the Lord's church who have our lamps burning, when the bridegroom returns, will go in with him. Now, sisters, let's think about this. Think about the day that you got married. When you got married, it would have been crazy that if we waited until the day of our wedding to decide to plan to get married. Now, just take a minute and think about that. That would be crazy. But that's what that is when we don't prepare for ourselves, when we resist the continuing renewing of our mind. The five foolish women were simply not ready. Now listen, God gave us tools to get ready. God gave us his precious son. God gave us access to himself through prayer. We no longer have to go through the priest. God gave us the word to look to. God gave us his Holy Spirit to guide us. God has given us the instructions in his words to follow. Choose wisely, for God has not given us the spirit of timid and faithlessness. In conclusion, the icing on the cake to further note that the five unwise women didn't develop a relationship with God, the proof is in the scripture. And we'll talk about that toward the end, what the proof was. They chose to resist the truth. They chose to resist the renewing of their mind. We know because of this that they didn't have the ability to correct a member of the church. Sadly, when they came back with their candle and asked the Lord to open the door, it was too late. Now, here is the proof of the scripture. Matthew chapter 25:12 said, "But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Thank you for your time, and may God bless all.
Amen. Thank you, LaDonna, for the lesson on tonight. We will now have our closing prayer by Sister Mitzi Wise.
Good evening, sisters. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come once again thanking you for this beautiful day we had today. We had sunshine, and we also had a little rain. But I thank you for all that we had. Lord, please forgive me of all my sins so this prayer will not be hindered. And Lord, right now, I want to thank our dear sister, LaDonna Miller, for this beautiful, beautiful lesson on how do we know we have timid faith. Lord, she did an outstanding job giving us many scriptures to think about. And I pray that all the sisters that are on this call will read and reread these scriptures in the coming week. Lord, be with all of the sisters who are going through struggles right now. Health, bereavement, whatever it may be, jobs, their home life, their finances, whatever it may be, Lord, be with us and let us just think about this lesson that will help us to grow stronger in you. And Lord, please be with all of us tonight as we lay our head down on our pillow to go to sleep, that you will watch over each and every one of us, and there will not be a loss of one in the morning. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on that old rugged cross for our sins, so that one day we might have a home in heaven if we follow your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Mitzi.